We're going to be in 1 John this morning. We spent a little time in 1 John, the first chapter, some time back, and we're going to be a little farther along in the last half, I guess it is, of this chapter. And we looked at the last time when we looked it looks and speaks of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who indeed is the word of life, as it says here, and in the book of John, in the book of Hebrews, all the scriptures that speak of him as the word of life, and all the different ways that he's revealed and taught to us in the scripture. And this morning I'd like to actually have a couple of titles for this, but this morning it's going to be titled, We Walk in the Light. We walk in the light, and as Christ is a light. A couple of things about the book of 1 John that we didn't mention last time as kind of an introduction to the book. It's a wonderful book to God's people about a lot of things, and it can be also, the book could be subtitled, Hereby We Know, and Things That We Know. And 27 times in the book of 1 John it says, and we know, or hereby we know. Those phrases and comments underline the things that 1 John teaches us and said, hereby we know, and a lot of those herebys are, hereby we know that we are in him, or hereby we know that he is the one, and it cites why, and he gives reasons why those things. So, hereby we know. It's a good book of the scripture that shows us those things and tells us how we know those and those things that we know. You almost have to have 6 hours and kind of cover the book, you know, that. But we're going to look at a few passages this morning that deal with this. I'd like to read the 1 John first chapter. And just, I would like to read the 10 verses to kind of lead into verses 5 through 10 that we're going to be looking at particularly. 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This first chapter is quite some introduction to the book, as we'll look at it. And it, when it says here in verse 3, which we have seen and declare unto you, that ye may also have, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And up above it says that they were in his presence, and it says that they've looked upon him, they've heard him. It says they handled him of the word of life, and we can handle the word of life in this form that we have, and the Lord reveals himself to us through this. They had him physically, and they could do that. And they, as John says here, he was the word of life, and they were shown that. They knew that, and they they had it, and it was manifested unto them. It said that he was life, and he's the light of the word of life, and the word of light too, light. So in verses 5 through 10, we're going to look at a couple of things that it says. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. That's the message. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are wonderful things for God's people to contemplate, and it has to be, all of this has to be, the work of God has to be in us to realize these things. There are many that can read the word, the written word, and agree with that he is the word of life, and he is light, and everyone to be saved from their sins must be saved by him. You can read those things, you can know those things in a physical, earthly way, and not understand a bit about what it's talking about. And in this book, it reveals some of those things to us, and it reveals and talks about those things to God's people, ones that he has revealed himself to. And we're going to look at a number of passages that relate to 1 John and in 1 John. Before we do that, there's a couple of articles on the back of last week's hymnal that was last week's bulletin, one by John Newton and one by William Tiptaff. That John Newton's is Academic Studies, it's titled. And it goes really well with the one below that says, we must be taught of God. And both of them are that coming to the Scripture and the truth of the Scripture is revealed to his people. It's not academic knowledge or words. And it's not just being taught of another person. God uses other people indeed to for preaching and teaching and by his Spirit revealing himself, but it's not merely an academic. You don't put in so many hours and you get so much back. It's not like learning math or those type of things. So it indeed everything that we have and possess and are have to be in him and are in him, in Christ himself. And we'll see a few things like that. In John, the book of John, there's some similarities between John and 1 John, obviously being penned by the same, and some things that are said here. And I'd like to read the first. I'd like to read 14 verses of this real to start with, and it ties in nicely with what 1 John says. It says, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Saying that this, many of the same things, and if we find scripture that does not say the same things, we're probably reading it incorrectly, or it's not of the scriptures. And here it speaks about Christ being the light. John was witness of that light, and as it says here and in other places in the scripture, the one that was come was indeed the creator of everything that has been created. And he's the true light with a capital L. And the a couple of important facts to us concerning us about that in verse 13 and 14, and 13 particularly, it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that's a point that, as being taught of him, and being born again is not something we decide to do or somebody decides to help us do or how to get it done. It is truly of God and God alone. And it's just a necessity that man be born of God. In John chapter 8, well, we're in the book of John, a couple of more places, but chapter 8 of the book of John, and our Lord himself speaks here. Verse 12 of chapter 8 of John, and it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And himself saying that, speaking of that, the light. And there's passages that we're not going to go to them right now, but that the light shineth on that which is evil, and lights which is evil, and reveals that and shows that. And and when he was in the world, he was a light shining on the darkness in those days and that time. And that's the only way they were revealed. Some of that was by him doing that, revealing that. In Galatians, turn the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, it's speaking of God's people, God being Christ having redeemed his people from their sin, from the law, the curse of the law. And down here in verse 26 of John chapter, or Galatians chapter 3, says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And here where it says, children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And there it's speaking of the righteousness that he has provided for his people. It has to be put on. We're not, and what he's speaking here to is not... not children just by flesh and blood children, but by the Spirit and by God's redeeming his people. That the only ones that are children of God, it says, by faith in Christ Jesus. And we know a passage where it speaks to faith, and we're going to look at that in just a minute, that if he does not cause that and put that life in us, it's not to happen. In 1 John, turn back to the book of 1 John in the second chapter. And again, the book of 1 John, so many places, tells us how we know these things. And if this be so, then we know something else. In 1 John chapter 2, starting with first verse of chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And in here, as it says, that we are in him, and it's a couple of very important things in here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our advocate for his people. And it says, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay, that brings to mind a lot of what do you do to do that type thing. What is that referring to? What does that mean? Keep his commandments. And we know that on the one hand, in one way, we know that Christ himself kept all the law in life. He came as man, lived a perfect sinless life, came perfect sinless, didn't do anything to change that, and fulfilled all the commandments that men can point to in that direction, in that way, and much more. And just a second here, let me find my spot. In 1 John chapter 3, just a little farther. 1 John chapter 3, in verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, 18 and following a bit. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Here's a test, or another hereby we know. And Lauren used a phrase a long time ago in a lesson. I can't remember what passage he'd connect that with, but the phrase was a heart check. And we have this through all of the scripture, obviously, but here in 1 John, there's several places that show us why or how we can know, and how we can hereby we know, as it says in verse 19. And this here, that we can keep his commandments, where it says in verse 23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And that's like the passage, I don't have it in front of me, and I didn't think of it until actually right now, but about where it speaks about what the work of God, you have to do the work of God. Well, the work of God is by His Spirit regenerating His people. That's the work of God. And here, the keeping the commandments is believing on the Son, on His Son Jesus Christ, that has kept all things. And when He said it's finished, it was finished. And that's the only way that we can say that we have kept the commandment of God, is by His doing that in His people. And it says, we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. And His Spirit, in Romans it says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And not by, it's not bearing witness that we have done certain things or taken certain steps, but His Spirit has caused that in us. And then, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You probably know where one of the places we're going to end up, but in Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks to these things. Speaking again that Christ has done those things for His people that were needful. This, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, it says, in heavenly places in Him. He has purchased His people. He has predestinated His people to be adopted as sons. And those things that it speaks about that He has done for and to His people. And then in verse 13 it says here, Ephesians 1:13, in whom, speaking of Christ, in whom ye have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So that trust and that faith, it says here, the word of truth, the gospel, your salvation, to whom that after you believed, you were sealed. And then turn to chapter 2 of Ephesians while we're right here. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of this as it connects together here. It says, and you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In this passage, we quote this in this book a lot in this area, and it can oftentimes it can just be a kind of a byword in religious or catechism type thinking and stuff, and it connects in with 1 John, where it says, in the other passage we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, that by His Spirit He reveals these things to us. And it's not that, yeah, I've been down steps 4 and 5, and the next one is say I believe in Him. And it says here, again, like the commandment, keeping of the commandment, believe in Him, is an impossible task for natural man. Can't do it. He has to put life in his people. Has to cause that. And as keeping of the commandment, that commandment and any others that we might want to attach, the Lord Himself has done that and has accomplished all. And when people want to speak about work, here in this passage speaks about, and Paul does in Romans and other places too, about that it's not, there's no work involved. The work that's of God is God's work, and that's, we cannot do that. And here when it says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, though any work being done is God Himself to His people, and it's not the other way around. And only because of these things can we then go to 1 John, and he says, hereby we know these things. If these things be so, we know that where we stand in Him. And John carries that on all the way through 1 John. Every different topic that he's kind of speaking about is those things that hereby we know that He has done all these things for us. And it's not, if you've attained to this level, hereby you know that you're a good guy. Because we know that that doesn't work. We know that if that's the direction they're headed with it, we're stuck. It has to be hereby we know why we stand in Him and how we stand in Him and why we stand in Him. And when it gets a little farther in the book of John about love, those things, there's things that are hard to do that we can't do, impossible for us to do. And He has to, by His Spirit, put those things in us and cause us to be those things. And we know that it's not of us to do that. In Romans chapter 2, let's look at Romans for just a minute. Romans chapter 2, verse 21 to start with for just a little bit. And this is kind of getting into the middle of a thing, but speaking about being instructed of others and being instructed of God, but it says in verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And not shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the circumcision of the flesh that had been talked about earlier profits nothing. The circumcision here, not by nature, but that is a Jew which was one inwardly. The Spirit has circumcised the heart, the true circumcision that the physical is a picture of. And that is not something that can be done. Man cannot do that to another man or to himself, cannot circumcise the heart. It's just not a possibility. And then in chapter 3, in the same section of it, but chapter 3 of Romans, just over a page, in a passage through there that we just love to read, it says, But now, verse 21, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And we're going to stop that spot there. But again, that natural man in religion wants to go through these things. And in 1 John, I suppose there are those that take those things and say, I do those things. And God's people look through and say, we didn't do any of that. If Christ didn't do that, if when he said it's finished, it wasn't finished, we're as bad off as we were before, and we're in a terrible spot. As we saw in Ephesians, the first chapter 2 there, that faith in him is created by God and caused to be in us. It's not something that we've come up with. We're not going to go to it, but in John, it talks about Christ and Nicodemus, and the Lord told him, you must be born again. And he said, that's kind of tough to do. And it's not by physical doing of it. And it has to be, the Spirit has to do that and cause that. We must be born again in that way. And he has to do that and does do that. We are told to walk as children of light. And God's people will walk as children of light because what it says, what we are by nature, we amen to that. And what it says that Christ has done for his people, we say, if that's not so, we are lost. We have to stand in what he has done. We are blessed. In Ephesians it says in chapter 1 again, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. We are dependent on, as we say almost every time the word is opened, that we fall completely on him for our standing and our salvation. If we have any, it has to be in him 100%. And as it says here, life cannot come from us. We cannot do the works of God. God has to do that work. We can't keep the commandment that's given to us to believe on him. He has to cause us to do that. And then his Spirit dwells in his people and beareth witness that. And we are caused to believe the record that God has left us by his Spirit. We have no other means of life but the righteousness of Christ. And when it says we have baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And that is that robe of righteousness, which is a fantastic picture of what he provides for us in that way. And he bears witness with us that we are the sons of God. And so in the 1 John there, like I said, 27 times he says, hereby we know. And all those times we can say, go back on what he has just said. Hereby we know. And there's a lot of those things that we say, boy, that didn't look like what we're doing or how things are going. But we know that in him, those things are so. We have those things even when we don't feel like a certain way. We know that if we are in him and we are covered by his blood and righteousness, then those things are so. And they are so. And the book of 1 John is just, it's so pointed in a lot of ways that it's a comfort to God's people, as it says in the beginning there, so that it writes these things so that it says in verse 4, write unto you these things that your joy may be full. And God's people have every reason to joy in our Lord, who is that great light that has shined on us. And I would encourage you to put 1 John in your reading, if you would. And with that, as Mike usually says about now, be free. Thank you.